Happy Sunday. This is Danielle Immerman, CMO at The Reflective, and you are listening to More Than a Hemline, a podcast where we seek to understand the nuances of modesty as not only a mode of dress, but a vehicle in which we can show up in this world as our full-hearted selves. Before you do anything, and before I even intro our guest, I want you to take a second, stop, maybe pause, maybe do this while you're listening, whatever you want, whatever floats your boat, and leave us a review on the podcast player of your choice. Please, please, please leave us a review. It's important to rank us and rate us so that we can move on up in the podcast charts. The only way we can make modesty mainstream is if we join forces together. So please take a second, leave us a review. It would be so, so, so greatly appreciated. And now, without further ado, I will introduce our guest today, Kim Kine, a fellow modest fashion lover, a fellow creative, an artist, and a fashion designer. Kim came to modesty later on in life, as did I, as did Liza. So we sat down with her to just hear her story, her journey towards modesty, what it's like, you know, finding creative expression within the parameters of modesty, and especially when it comes to design. So without further ado, let's get into it. Kim, who are you? Tell us a little bit about just who you are, what you do, and then we'll get into the whole modesty bit.
Sounds good. I am an artist and also a fashion designer. So basically, as an artist, what I do is paint, draw, and sculpt. And so basically, my subject matter is taking sort of uncomfortable, heavy feelings and transmuting them in a way that comes out lighthearted, fun, playful, sort of making fun of the things that are not so enjoyable. And I also sometimes incorporate Jewish themes, Jewish ideas. As a fashion designer, I design accessories, so that encompasses jewelry, handbags, even socks, hats, and I've had a lot of experience in the fashion industry, but lately I've been gravitating mostly towards accessories.
It's amazing. So I'd love to hear more about what got you interested in, I guess, design in the first place. I guess it probably boils back down to creativity, but you know, kind of walk us through like how, you know, early on in life that manifested your creativity and how you kind of got to where you are today.
Sure. So as a child, I was always interested in art. I was always interested in fashion. I have a picture of myself wearing pretty much everything in my closet all at once as a little kid. And when I got older, I knew I wanted to go to art school. And when I got to Otis, which was the art school I chose, I realized that they had this amazing fashion program. And I just seeing these beautiful hand sketches come to life on the runway, I was so inspired. And I was like, this is what I really want to do. And then after completing fashion school and working in the industry for some time, I got really frustrated because all I wanted was the glamour and the glitz and the fun. And I realized that there was backbreaking work behind every single bit. And like also, when you're in the beginning, you don't make much money and you get overworked and you get burned out. So I gravitated more towards my fine art side as a way to cope with the stress of the fashion industry. So thank God now I have a good balance of both. And I know that whenever I'm going too much into the fashion side and feeling too stressed, it's time to do a little bit more free artwork so that I can sort of take a break from rules and needing to hit a certain price point.
Wait, this is so interesting. I had no idea that like your push into fashion was supplemented by kind of this balance that you found to alleviate the stress of fashion, that like these kind of work in tandem to create so much balance and harmony in your life. Like these two, I guess careers in a way, because like you are an artist and that is like, I'm sure it takes up a lot of your time. I want to hear more about this.
Yeah, I love the way you just verbalized that, the way that it harmonizes. I mean, being an artist is like a goal of mine and it's something that I do, but I'm not making a ton of money from it. And in a way, that's a good thing because the more money you make off of something, the more pressurized it gets, the more you're not able to be as free, because like once you're locked in and people know you for a certain thing, you can't really branch out as much. Or I mean, you could, but people are just going to be confused, alienated, not love it as much. So I'm sort of in my experimental phase artistically, and then fashion wise it's like tried and true. I know what I'm doing. I feel very confident in it.
Okay, I want to put a pin in this part because I want to come back to it and really explore, like, I guess the balance that you've found in your career and in your creativity. But to get there, I want to hear a little bit about your journey towards modesty and what that's looked like.
I mean, modesty is new for me, like as of the last 4 years, and it's really become who I am. Previously, I was definitely the girl wearing glitter mini skirts and like a bikini on the beach, but that's not really who I am anymore, because first of all, I love the respect it commands. When you walk in the room like with your body covered, it's a different vibe. People treat you a different way. And I love that feeling. It's a feeling of power for me. Aside from that, it's just similar to my work in the fashion industry. The more constraints you have, while it can seem frustrating, constraints can actually be a good thing. And it inspires more creativity, because it's like, when I first became or started dressing Snua, I didn't want to get rid of all my clothes. So I was like, okay, how can I wear this dress even though the neck is open and the arms are open? So it's like a lot about layering. It's a lot about finding ways to make things work that don't necessarily come to the mind immediately.
I think it's so interesting that you pointed out that restrictions can actually give way to more creativity, because it's something that I have always felt and tried to articulate when I describe my own journey towards modesty. Before I started dressing modestly, never really like dressed fun or cool. Like I just kind of wore what was, you know, of the times, what most people were wearing. And I didn't really start unlocking my creativity and like my real style until I started dressing modestly. And I think it's because I couldn't have access to like, you know, all these short shorts and crop tops and bodysuits that people were wearing. Like I was, you know, looking for a new way to, I don't know, I guess be connected to myself. And I found a lot of freedom in the parameters, which is really interesting. I just love to, like, have you always felt that way, that restriction can give way to creativity, or is it something that you had to come to and like learn?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I came to later in life. There are consequences when it comes to doing whatever you want, whenever you want. It's almost like if you were to let a child in the kitchen eat whatever they want, have whatever candy they want, it gets old really fast. So I think that we can all recognize that the things that are harder in life are always yield a greater result and are more worth it.
Restriction and rules, parameters, that contradicts creativity, because I feel like in my mind, how I've always related to creativity, it's this like unleashing of ideas, this expansion, this freedom to think bigger than life. So when you have these two opposing forces, when it comes to being an artist, when it comes to dressing modestly, it's very hard to grapple with. How have you come to understand it?
Well, I mean, firstly, I would say that when I initially started dressing modestly when I was in seminary, it was more out of respect for my teachers, and it didn't feel like me. But at this point, I've been doing it so long that it feels second nature, and I think that sometimes you just have to take a leap of faith, and that if you know that something could be good for you and you try it out and then it rings true, then you just stick with it. So it's like not something I can prove. It's just you try it, you like it, it works for you, and go forward.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point that you just made, because it's something that we talk about a lot on The Reflective, and that's, you know, if you're just starting out with modesty, what's the first step you should take? Like, should you go all in? Like, what should you like make a standard for yourself that from now on, like, you're going to really try to cover your shoulders? Like, what are the baby steps and what are the increments you should take? And I think there's this like push and pull that we have as a community and that a lot of women have. And that's that you want on one hand to feel like authentic to yourself. You don't want to take too big of a leap because you don't want to crash and burn. And you don't want to start dressing in a way that feels so not like you to the point where you'll just abandon whatever you're working towards completely. At the same time, I think there's tremendous truth in what you're saying, which is you have to come to a point where like you ultimately know where you want to end up and just go for it and work towards making that authentic over time. We should push ourselves and we should really like work towards growth. And sometimes that means growth is not going to feel good right away. And I think we as a society have grown very accustomed to this feel good culture. And, you know, I notice in my conversations with women that I myself will start like saying, you know, you should really take it easy. Like you should feel good in what you're wearing. It shouldn't be too much. But like there's the opposing mentality that in order to grow, it's not always going to feel good. It's just an interesting dichotomy to point out. And I think, you know, it all comes down to ultimately like really knowing yourself.
100%. Growth is painful. Growth is tricky. And with what you're saying, I find myself in the same situation. It's like, for example, something that I'm thinking about now is the type of music I listen to. And even thinking about stopping listening to a certain type of music made me want to listen to it more. So that's how you know you're not ready for something. And it's important to find that space of slight discomfort, but not too much so that you're going backwards. I think another thing, I'm not sure if you guys have already shared this with your listeners, but not getting rid of your old clothing until you're 100% ready. I'm a very rebellious person naturally, so getting rid of my clothing would have backfired hardcore. Like just knowing that I have jeans and that I could wear them if I wanted to, it gave me so much comfort. And I never ended up wearing them. They just sat in the closet, but just having them was my little security blanket.
You can even find a way to style your previous pieces modestly. Like you can, it just takes time. And I think not getting rid of those pieces is so important. You don't want to like make too many drastic changes at once.
I even want to, like for my wedding dress, I sort of imagine like a tank top, like a bias cut dress with a turtleneck underneath. I could totally see that for myself. So, I mean, turtlenecks are one of my favorite pieces. I'm all about the layer.
I'm all about the layer too. Are we kindred style spirits?
Probably.
I would love to shift into how your style has evolved over time since Dressing Modestly. Like, what were you drawn to before Dressing Modestly as far as clothes go? And what are you drawn to now?
I would say that in the beginning, my style was a little bit more edgy. And now I've sort of shifted into leaning into being super feminine. And I think that sort of speaks to my journey of being on the rebellious side and then sort of realizing like there's so much power in femininity. There's so much power in, you know, being a receiver and like you don't have to be loud. You don't have to shout. You don't have in order to get a point across. In fact, if you speak softly, people have to lean in to hear you. Sort of that energy of wanting to be aggressive and then realizing like, oh no, like I don't need to be that. I can just relax into who I am, know who I am, know I'm a powerful woman, and I don't have to prove anything to anybody.
As far as what you've struggled with modesty, fashion, and self-expression, like what has that journey looked like? Like, is there a certain pain point that you experienced throughout your growth in modesty? Like when it comes to creativity and expressing yourself, you mentioned that you used to wear like glittery skirts. Like, is that something that in your modest journey you kind of grappled with as far as style and expression goes?
So honestly, not so much on the modesty side. I didn't have that struggle as much because I was sort of able to think on my feet and come up with ideas and find different ways of combining items. So, I mean, even if you want to wear a sparkly miniskirt, maybe it's just a sparkly long sleeve top instead. Like, it's not such a big shift. I would say where I had more of a struggle with was artistic expression. I wanted to make sure that the things I was depicting was in line with Torah. And so that was a challenge because I was like, I don't want to censor myself. But at the same time, I need to be who I am. So I think that was more of a struggle for me.
That's so interesting. Wait, say more about that.
Yeah, sure. So, for example, I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this, but I at one point was selling hats that say Pray Girl on them. And like that's sort of a play off of the Playboy industry. And it's sort of just taking something that's known for being sort of sexual and dirty and making it into something holy. I think that's kind of integral to who I am, like how we as women can sort of reclaim being quote unquote sexual objects and like, no, I'm gonna wear a turtleneck, I'm gonna wear a long skirt, and I'm still gonna be sexy, but not for a man, sexy in my own self.
What, as far as censorship goes, and always making sure that the art that you're creating is in line with Torah values, like what was the initial struggle? Was there like certain ideas or concepts that you felt like?
Yeah, I mean, I guess nudity was a big one. I used to draw naked people quite a lot. I mean, sometimes I even make naked sculptures. I don't really post those though. Yeah, it's a part of myself that needs to be expressed, and it's just a matter of, am I expressing it to the public or am I expressing it just for myself? Like, somebody who sings, they don't need to sing for the world. They can just sing in their shower. And I mean, I like the idea of having something hidden because it's just for me, and there's, I don't know, pleasure in that and secrecy in a fun way.
I think it's so interesting that this is where the conversation is going because it's a topic that Liza and I have been meaning to talk about, and that is modesty outside of clothing. Because modesty is not just what you wear, it's your thoughts, it's your action, it's your speech. And what you're hitting on is this element of modesty that pertains to action outside of clothing, right? Like we all have these inner worlds, these inner thoughts, these inner creativities that we want to express. And it's not always about unleashing it to the public. Some things are okay for ourselves, and that's okay. And it does not have to be posted all over social media. But because of the day and age we're living in, it's become so normalized to publicize everything about yourself. And that's just like a whole facet of modesty that we haven't even touched on. And it's really hard, honestly, for me to understand because I love sharing. Like I love posting things. I love like expressing my creativity for the world to see. Like I love like all of my inner thoughts and ideas and like sharing them with other people, but it's very hard for me to even approach the subject. I think it's so interesting that you brought it up.
Yeah, I mean, 5,000%. I feel very similarly to you in that I'm a very expressive person and I love sharing and I love bonding with people. So sometimes I'll have like personal news or that I'm just like I'm vibrating with because I want to tell somebody so bad and I'm like, nope, calm down. Just hold on to it. Not everyone needs to know. Like, and my best friend, we tell each other everything and we talk all day long, but even sometimes when I have a job interview, I don't tell them because I want to sort of hold on to that energy and not let it free yet. And because we've all been had that experience of sharing something and then, oh, it didn't work out. And it's like, who wants to have that? Just like hold it to yourself. And then I find most of the time when I hold it to myself, it ends up working out. And when I tell people, I don't want to go through that. So, and yeah, I mean, I agree with you. We live in this culture of everybody sharing everything, and we all just need to take a step back and, you know, just be a little bit more private.
It's so hard for me. It's so hard for me. And I'm so glad we're touching on this because honestly, at this point, we can just like, this is a therapy session. Like, for me, I think the hardest part is like knowing the line because I can keep a lot to myself. I'm like an introvert by nature. Like I really can withhold a lot if I let myself. But then it becomes a question of like, okay, then how can I like create a closeness in a relationship if I'm holding so much of my internal world internally? It's like a question of mine. Like I feel like by expressing and sharing, I am bonding. Maybe this is just like something I really do need to go to therapy about. I don't know. But I'd love like if that's something that you've grappled with and if you've come to any kind of terms with it.
I have one. I mean, you just made me think of my one girlfriend who she is very private about dating. And there's been times where I like so badly wanted to pry. And then I was like, you know what? She clearly doesn't want to talk about that. Why would I pry into that? And that almost creates more closeness because I'm respecting her boundary. So, I mean, don't worry about holding back on people. They'll just see that you're sharing what's comfortable for you.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, at the end of the day, like, relationships thrive on respect, and they thrive on the understanding of boundaries. Like, that's how you have long-term relationships. I think maybe like part of the problem with our day and age is that we're so used to immediacy and immediate gratification. A lot of it comes back to social media and just like the power of now and, you know, Amazon Prime. Like, there's so many contributing factors to our need to feel like that, you know. I guess this is funny because I'm snapping my fingers, but it's a podcast and nobody can see me and my snap wasn't that loud, but I just I'm now getting derailed. But I think when it comes to relationships, there's this expectation that we have, you know, a relationship bonded in the drop of a hat. But relationships take time, and it takes, you know, having experiences together, and it takes like respecting boundaries, because ultimately it's through respecting boundaries that will create that long-term relationship that will stand the test of time. So I think I just maybe worked out a little bit for myself the core of what's eating me up, but I think this is such an interesting facet that we just explored on the topic of modesty.
Yeah. I'm so glad we discussed this. It can't be overstated.
Okay, I have a few more questions before we close out, but I just want to circle back to a creative expression in what you wear. You mentioned like it wasn't so much of a struggle for you to shift away from, you know, wearing, let's say, a sequin miniskirt, because you found a way to make sequins happen, whether it was on your top half, your bottom half, whatever, what have you. There was a way for you to actualize your creativity and fashion in a modest way. My question that I struggle with and that I love to explore with people is when it comes to being a part of Jewish communities and communities as a whole, I think modesty takes on different appearances, so to speak. In some communities, like wearing a bunch of sequins or neon prints is not necessarily considered modest in their eyes. There are varying definitions, varying levels. I'm wondering, like, with your love of, you know, expression and creativity, if that's something that you've grappled with at all.
Yeah, definitely. It is something that I've grappled with. I mean, I've straight up been told by someone to assimilate. I mean, not in that word, not in that phraseology, but it's like, oh, you know, we don't wear our hair like that, or we don't wear red nail polish. And I mean, thank God I have the strength and confidence to be able to do it my own way and feel comfortable in that. And living in Los Angeles really does help, because there is sort of an atmosphere of more acceptance. But I'm sure that if I were to walk around Mea Sharm wearing what I'm wearing right now, it wouldn't be appreciated. So I think, and I have a respect for that place. And I think that you have to know your audience, you have to know where you are and respect what you're around. And it's just not for me. I'm a colorful person. I like having pink hair. I like wearing brightly colored skirts. And that's not going to change about me.
Yeah. I am so here for it. Like, I've really struggled with it, I guess, in the past. Well, really since I started dressing modestly, but more so since moving to New York. And, you know, I think dating throws like an obstacle course in the conversation on, you know, modesty, appearance and expression and community. Like, everything is very intertwined. And, you know, I think ultimately what it comes down to is like knowing yourself, like you said, and like having the confidence and being self-assured, because people will always make comments. That's just the nature of life. I did a conversation with Beth Warren, who's a nutritionist and health coach, and she touched on this whole area of appearance and how people feel like they can make comments because it's what they see. But there's so much underneath the surface of how you present yourself and so many factors that people can't see or like make a judgment on in the drop of a hat, but people do anyway. And that's just the nature of life. And if you are confident and self-assured with yourself and you know where you stand, like what you believe in, what your values are, like you can weather it. You can weather the comments, but it's still very hard. And I think especially when you're a newcomer to modesty and you're growing and trying to find your space, especially within the context of religion, it's very hard. So I'm wondering, like, what would your advice be to women who are just starting out and experiencing that similar struggle of, you know, trying to figure out what community they fit into, what kinds of community will accept them for whatever they want to wear?
Mm-hmm. Well, to speak from experience, as you were saying, that when people see things, they feel like they can say things. And to be honest, because I am somewhat, I guess I could say, flamboyant, it does invite more comments, and they're not always welcome. But if I were to dress in all black, it wouldn't make me happy, and it wouldn't be an expression of who I am. So that's sort of the trade-off, and it's more about me being comfortable and confident, and even, you know, anticipating somebody saying something a little bit off color. So it's more about self-acceptance. If you love and accept yourself, you don't have to worry about other people not loving and accepting you. And I did struggle, you know, when I was living in Jerusalem. I didn't always feel comfortable. I sometimes felt awkward going to people's homes that I've never been to before, thinking, oh, how are they going to feel about a black woman coming to their house? Or I guess they probably perceived me as a girl at the time. But yeah, it has to start internally. And whatever you feel internally, will be mirrored back to you.
In those moments of, you know, being uncomfortable, was there anything that helped get you through? That gave you strength?
Honestly, my connection to God. There was times where I just felt so uncomfortable and embarrassed, and I would just silently pray to God and ask for strength and just say, like, God, I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to do what I feel you're asking of me. Help me. Help me help you. I want to be your PR team. Let's go.
I love that metaphor is so much. Like, ultimately, at the end of the day, like, I just want to be a spokesperson. Like, just like, hand me a mic, let's do this, this is your PR chance, I'm here, let's show up, let's run the world. Like, at the end of the day, like, look at our world. Like, if you think that by dressing black and white, like, you're gonna help the cause, like, no. Like, sure, if that's what feels right and confident and like authentic to you, great. But we're all individuals. We are all so different. And if you were given the gift of creativity and imagination, and you're drawn to color and print and sequins and silk, like, there must be a reason.
Yeah, 100%. And I remember at the beginning of my journey, I was like, why do I have all these tattoos? Why am I so different? And now I just celebrate it. And I'm glad that I am, because it helped me realize sooner that I just have to be myself. Because whereas other people can hide a little bit more, there's no really hiding my skin color, there's no hiding the tattoos that I've gotten. I'm not willing to remove them. And it's not halakha, so it's not Jewish law to remove them. So yeah, it's just love yourself, know who you are, and, you know that other people's opinions of you aren't important, to be perfectly honest.
Has to come from yourself. Exactly. And it's like, if somebody's comments are invoking something in you, I'd say be curious about it, because I don't know, people make comments and like they don't have the power to make you feel a certain way. Like, they can't make you feel a certain way. You're feeling a certain way because of something else. Like, if somebody is saying something to me about, I don't know, like, all the crazy prints I wear at the same time, like, and I get really, like, insecure about it, what's that about? It's not their comments. Like, maybe I'm already insecure about something else. So I think the curiosity bit is, you know, powerful in that it helps us understand ourselves even more, so that when those comments come our way again, because they will, people will always make comments, we can be built up more so that we can weather that and know that we are confident and self-assured in what we are wearing, because it's our choice and because it's who we are, and we've done the internal work to prepare for it.
Beautifully said.
My final question before we close out would be, I don't know, as a designer, as a creative, and as a modest fashion wearer, do you notice what's missing from the modest fashion space, whether it's a certain style, a certain vibe, a certain product, just like anything in general that you would like to see that is not there?
I would say that there is a lack of high-end, high-fashion clothing that's also modest. And I mean, that's no shade at anybody. I think there are great designers. I mean, clearly you guys just had a panel of amazing powerhouse designer women. But also just when you go to the high-end designers like Diane von Furstenberg or what have you, they're modest in certain ways and not in others. And it's hard to find that consistency. But but also that it sort of plays into what I was saying earlier. There's ways to make things work. So sometimes it's wearing a printed slip skirt under a printed dress. Like, make it happen, make it work. You gotta be creative. So I don't really see so much of a lack, to be honest. I think that we have what we need. We have the tools, and also vintage shopping. Like, hello, it's the best and it's sustainable. So
it has been an absolute pleasure getting to chat with you. Thank you for taking time out of your day. I'm going to open the floor to you. Any final thoughts, any final imparting messages you would like to leave with us?
Don't force it. Don't force anything in life, to be honest. It's great to set intentions and to do the work to work towards these intentions, but just don't try to force it. Just let it flow naturally, and it'll happen when it's meant to. You are a flower and you will bloom when it's time.
I love that.
Cheesy, right?
You're a flower and you will bloom when it's time. Oh my God. I want that painted on my wall. Thank you for listening to More Than a Hemline. Please shoot me an email at danielle@the-reflective.com with your thoughts and takeaways from this episode. I would absolutely love to hear from each and every one of you. And if you liked this episode, please leave us a review. Again, it's the only way we can move on up in the charts. And that is the only way we can make modesty mainstream, by amplifying our collective voice as a community. So please take a second, leave us a quick review, and subscribe if you enjoyed this episode and want to be updated when a new one comes out. See you next week for a new episode. Have a great week.